In the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke, in describing the first Pentecost, the first Christian Pentecost, uses images that would remind his readers of the Jewish Pentecost, the feast that celebrates the covenant between God and Israel. For example, Jesus ascends to heaven, which we celebrated last Sunday, parallels Moses' climbing Mount Sinai. There is also speaking in tongues and wind and fire, which some first century rabbis associated with the appearance of God at Mount Sinai. With this symbolic language, Luke is telling us that the Christian community has a new covenant with God. They are the new people of God. And rather than receiving the law through Moses, as the Jews did, the Christians receive the Spirit from Jesus. As Christians, we are a people of the Spirit. But where do we experience this Spirit in our lives? Some people, like St. Paul, are knocked off their horses and experience the Spirit in dramatic and extraordinary ways. But for most of us, the Spirit is like the air we breathe, so common, so ever-present, that we don't notice it. I think we experience the Spirit every day of our lives. We just don't recognize the presence of the Spirit. For example, we have all had the experience of hurting someone or being hurt by someone close to us, a relative, a friend, a loved one. But we have also experienced forgiveness, or, you know, our forgiving someone or them forgiving us. The tears, the regret, the extended hand, the hugs, the realization that all is not lost. That's what we experience in forgiveness. And when we experience forgiveness, we experience the Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Every time we forgive or are forgiven, at that instant, we experience the Spirit. This is true not only in the sacrament of reconciliation, but in our daily lives also. The Spirit is at present at other times as well. Every time we feel anger at injustice to the poor or the powerless, the Spirit is moving within us. When we are moved to sympathy and generosity, the Spirit is alive within us. Pope Francis says in Amoris Laetitiae, his latest apostolic exhortation, that he saw in the women's movement the working of the Spirit for a clearer recognition of the dignity and rights of women. So, the employer and worker who speak and act against sexism and racism in the workplace, the politician who tells the truth, the scholar who searches for knowledge, all of them are experiencing the power of the Spirit. Every time a person smiles and says, "Welcome," the Spirit is there. Every time a mother hugs her child, When a doctor or nurse tries to heal the sick, when an addict goes to an AA meeting, they are responding to the Spirit. When diplomats work against human trafficking and global warming, the Spirit is moving them. When Catholic school children in Rwanda were indiscriminately slaughtered because they refused to separate into Hutus and Tutsis, they are true martyrs, true witnesses to the Spirit. Every time we have the courage to testify to our Christian faith in words or deeds, the Spirit is acting within us. Every time we use our gifts, our talents, for the common good, every time we feel drawn to the community in the breaking of bread, it is the Spirit that is pulling us. Above all, when we experience love, we experience the Spirit. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God. That's what the Scriptures tell us. We experience the Spirit when we love someone or are loved by someone. That is why the love of two people in marriage is a sacrament. We experience the Spirit when we experience an infinite thirst for love, for beauty, for goodness, for knowledge, an unquenchable thirst that can only be filled by God. The letter to the Galatians tells us of the seven fruits of the Holy Spirit that are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Spirit is present in our lives. We just don't pay attention to the Spirit. The very thing that makes us most human, that makes us more than an animal, is the divine within us. Our ability to love, our thirst for truth and beauty, our very humanness is the spark of the Spirit within us. The Spirit is alive in everyone. What makes Christians unique is that we acknowledge the presence of the Spirit in our lives and in the world. We recognize this Spirit as a gift from God, and we give praise and thanks to God for the gift of Himself in the Spirit. Just how important is this Spirit that we have received? In John's Gospel, Jesus tells the disciples during the Last Supper, "It is good for you that I leave, because after I go, I will send the Spirit to you." The disciples don't want Jesus to leave. They say, "Forget the Spirit. We want you to stick around." I think that would be our response today. It would be the same. If we could vote on whether to have the Spirit or to have Jesus present today, it would be no contest. The Spirit would lose that vote. But if this last year has shown us anything, it's that voters don't always vote for what's good for them. But we don't want the Paschal candle to leave the sanctuary. We don't want Easter season to end. We don't want ordinary time. But Jesus says it's better for us if He leaves so we can have the Spirit. Why is that? I think that the reason is that the Spirit is within us. Whereas Jesus, no matter how close we get to Him, is always external. Or to put it another way, if we could choose between Jesus in the Spirit, we would be choosing between having Jesus or being Jesus. It is the Spirit that makes us Jesus, makes us the body of Christ alive in our world. It is the Spirit that gives us life and fills us with love. Pope Benedict said that the resurrected Jesus is the next step in human evolution. And it is the Spirit that helps us take that step with Jesus. It is the Spirit that shows us where evolution is going. But the Spirit is not just for our own good. It's not just to make us happy and make us fulfilled. It is the Spirit that turns cowardly disciples into courageous missionaries who boldly preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. It is the Spirit that is the source of the gifts we must use for the common good. The Spirit unites us as a community of love, but it also sends us out on mission to preach the gospel and build the kingdom of God. The Spirit teaches us that our own happiness, our own fulfillment, is found in service and love of others. As we continue this Eucharist with the baptisms, we celebrate the presence of the Spirit who makes us the people of God, the body of Christ. We celebrate that the Spirit is alive today, that it will be alive in the lives of these children. We celebrate that we are all called to spread the gospel by our example, by our witness in words and in deeds. And as we celebrate, we pray that we might be filled with the Spirit of faithfulness, the Spirit of hope, and the Spirit of love and service.
What are we doing now? The prayers of the faithful. Please stand.
Made one body, one Spirit in Christ, we lift our voices in prayer.
Let us pray for the church. May we experience renewal in the Spirit. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the unity of Christians. May all division and conflict cease. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our parish community. May this community be characterized by forgiveness and kindness. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for people who experience discrimination. May we celebrate the differences of the other and defend those who are marginalized in our society. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the children about to be baptized. May they take their rightful place in this community as priests, prophets, and kings. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the sick, especially Tom Winter, Carlos Amtman, and Lawrence Hyde. May the Spirit breathe new life into those in need of healing. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died, especially Agnes Kardoskis, May all our beloved deceased be raised to fullness of life. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Saint John the Baptist, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Peter and Saint Paul, pray for us. Saint Noah, pray for us. Saint James, pray for us. Saint Christopher, pray for us. Saint Margaret, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. All holy men and women, saints of God, pray for us.
Brothers and sisters, God uses the sacrament of water to give his divine life to those who believe. Let us turn to God and ask that the gift of life from this font may be poured on the children to be baptized today. God our Father, your gift of water brings life and freshness to the earth. We ask now to bless this water. Renew the living spring of your life within us and protect us in spirit and body that we may be free from sin and receive your gift of salvation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. I now invite everyone, together with these parents and godparents, to renew the vows that we made at baptism. Do you reject sin so as to live in the freedom of God's children? We do. Do you reject the glamour of evil and refuse to be mastered by sin?